take a deep breath, take the higher road. That's what they always say, as if they know the way. They won't take it from me. But don't ever doubt yourself, it's life ain't just a dream. You make your own, so kick and scream. The people move alike with a never-ending force. You never had the chance, so what you waiting for? The day has come, my friend, cause this is war.
My role as CEO of two nonprofit organizations, I hold a fervent belief in the power of American entrepreneurship and the need for a strong pro-American business network. As we navigate through the complexities of the global economy, it becomes increasingly evident that fostering a network dedicated to promoting American businesses is not just beneficial, but essential for our nation's prosperity and growth. In a society where competition is fierce and economic landscapes are ever evolving, it is crucial for American businesses to have a platform where they can connect, collaborate, and thrive. Enter the Freedom Chamber, a pro-American business network that serves as a vital catalyst for building relationships, sharing resources, and creating opportunities that benefit not only individual enterprises, but also the collective strength of our economy. By coming together in a dedicated network, American businesses can leverage their unique strengths, expertise, and innovation to drive sustainable growth, create jobs, and bolster our nation's economic resilience. It can provide a forum for knowledge exchange, mentorship, and support, and empowering businesses to navigate challenges, seize opportunities, and stay ahead of the curve in an increasingly competitive marketplace. As a proud co-founder of the Freedom Chamber, where we fuel dreams, forge connections, and champion American businesses, I invite all of you who defend and uphold traditional American values to join us on this mission. Together, we build a future rooted in faith, family, and freedom. You're listening to Nurses Out Loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. I'm your host, Nurse Kimberly Overton. Before we get started today, I do want to encourage our listeners, if you have questions or comments, or perhaps you want to share your own experiences with what you're seeing on the front lines of healthcare, you can now submit those to us by sending them directly to nurses@americaoutloud.com. We will be featuring your questions and comments every Friday on a special Q&A episode with the nurses. We encourage all of you to engage in the battle and find your voice in this fight. But until you are able to do that, we will continue to be that voice for you. Joining me today is Tom Sadega, a first-generation American, family man, and patriot. He is the founder and CEO at Freedom Square, where they champion the principles of liberty, individual freedom, and civic engagement. In addition to his role at Freedom Square, Tom also serves as secretary, treasurer, and board director at Turning Point USA, where he actively contributes to their mission of educating and empowering young individuals with values of limited government, free markets, and personal responsibility. But that's not all. Tom also serves as an advisory board member for our friends at Moms for America, providing guidance, resources, and support to the organization, uniting hundreds of thousands of moms across the U.S., fighting for parental rights, protection of children from corrosive curricula and agendas, and raising a generation of respectful, patriotic citizens. On his professional journey, he has held numerous high-ranking roles in business and finance for more than two decades. He is a graduate of Northern Illinois University, as well as the School of Hard Knocks. His life philosophy is that there is no government program or mandate, no social or cultural replacement for faith, family, and freedom. The human soul naturally seeks a connection to the divine and a thirst for liberty and freedom. Tom, welcome.
Thanks, Kimberly.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being here with me. I'm excited to have you on, finally.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's an honor, especially on the heels of spending some time together at the Moms for America 20th Gala, which was just really an event that had moments of tears and inspiration and joy, and you know, and the camaraderie, and it's amazing. And I had a chance to speak at the event for a little bit, and I just want to repeat, nothing happens without moms. And also, I'd like to say that thank you personally for helping me getting through my COVID struggles. And I'm happy to share how you did that with our friends listening, because that you made a big difference. And I know you and your organization are doing this across the country, and God bless you all for doing that.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, we felt like we needed to step in where the mainstream system was really failing in so many ways. I've been a part of that system for nearly 30 years, 27 years now. And, you know, we know that it's a sick care system. It isn't healthcare. It doesn't do anything to keep anybody well. And where we see them really failing, so many who are struggling and who are sick and suffering, we're going to step in and we're going to step up where we need to help people.
And it's amazing. And I know my story is mild by comparison of what you have shared with us over time since we've gotten to know each other over the last couple of years. And my brother-in-law was very cognizant and concerned about the mRNA vaccines, and so when I was pressured to get a vaccine, I ended up driving 6.5 hours in one day to get J&J. And I went way to the southern tip of Illinois, and the lady that put it in my arm, I think, only got half of it in my arm because the other half ran down my arm.
Probably lucky.
But the bottom line was I got, I got my card that would allow me to travel. And that was, you know, well, what a shame. But what ended up happening is, I ended up contracting the Delta and got through that. And then I got the two versions of the Omicron, I think it was. And I, up to that point, I had been pretty healthy. I would get sick maybe twice every 5 years with a mild cold. Well, I began to get sick about every other month with a more severe cold, and things were not right. And I remember we had met, gosh, that may have been the Great Awakening down in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you had told me about a protocol of a cleanse and an immunoboost. And I took your advice. I followed it to the T. And I'm so happy to report that I'm now back to not getting sick. I've been around people with the flu and COVID and other things. And I'm back on track. So thank you. Thank you for what you've done, and then also the same advisor you did for my daughter, who's was also very healthy and now has been seemed to be catching everything that comes within a 30-mile radius of her. And so, you guys, and I know what you're doing for folks around the country and some of the folks that have had greater negative impact, and you're making a real difference. And thank you guys for doing that. And so it's an honor to be with you on air, as it were, and to talk about what we're doing together now.
Yeah, I know it's an exciting time. So Freedom Square, you are the CEO, you're the founder and the CEO of Freedom Square, which I connected with you guys. Chuck Barham is the one who connected with me. We were Facebook friends. I'm not sure where he found me. He found me somewhere. I don't know where he found me. But we were Facebook friends for a while. And I recall him just one day reaching out to me and telling me about, you know, Freedom Square and what you guys were doing over there. And so why don't we start there? Like, let's talk a little bit about Freedom Square, how that, you know, you conceptualize that, and then moving into the Freedom Chamber.
Sure. It sort of goes back in my introduction, and I do put that on my bio because I'm a very proud first generation American. My parents escaped communism from Lithuania in 1944. And they spent 5 years in displaced persons camps in Germany awaiting invitation to the U.S. And back then, with the immigration process, they had to be sponsored. The adult males had to have work opportunities, and everybody had to pass health exams. And of course, post-war, there was a lot of movement happening from various nations and such. But they finally got approved and came to the States in 1949. And so when I was growing up, my grandparents and parents would teach us. Of course, I didn't know English when I got to kindergarten. For some reason, my mom thought we'd be going back to Lithuania. But that was not the case. The Soviet Iron Fist was pretty darn tough. And so I started to learn English, but we had Lithuanian classes every week. And the one thing that my parents and grandparents instilled was was sort of like a love of heritage, but even more so a love and respect for America, because it gave our family another chance, a chance to continue, because the wars ended family bloodlines all over the world. And so America was a very special place, and that's how I treat it. And so over the years, conversations, holidays, things like that, I remember in the mid 80s, political correctness rearing its head in a couple of universities in Ohio, and my mom bringing it to light to me. And she said, this smells awfully similar to Stalinist, Marxism or communism. And this was in the mid 80s when it was starting to get a whiff of that. And so, watching what's happening in the political realm and in the United States, you were seeing this momentum building of a completely alien ideology making its way into American institutions. And so the idea of Freedom Square came from the fact that post fall of the Berlin Wall, many people, ran to their centers of their town squares and celebrated freedom. And I mean, it was such a joyous time. Many of the cities across Eastern Europe named their town squares Freedom Square or Freedom Avenue, or, Freedom appears in the names of many of these locations. And we thought, you know what, we need to create a Freedom Square before the wall goes up. And maybe we can help by letting people connect, get information, unfiltered, listen to opinions, get resources. On freedomsquare.com, you can get a PhD in American history with the amount of resources that we have there. Excuse me. And we started a business network too, because we tried to, nothing happens without commerce. And commerce is very important, and seeing what happened with COVID and the attack on small business was unconscionable. So that's how we began to go. And we've got in Freedom Square now, it's almost like a Yelp for, pro-American businesses, if you're looking for something in particular. But we wanted to do something more because we saw what happened during COVID and the vaccine mandates. And while everybody was talking about there being a 100 employee limit, at the bottom end, there were already documents ready to go, taking it down to 50 and above and then 25 and above. And so we're so grateful that Job Creators Network and Gary Rabine filed suit. And they were joined in the Supreme Court and won the reversal of the vaccine mandate. Unfortunately, a little late, because many people have been forced to participate and hurt by it, but they made an impact. And so we think it's important that businesses have an opportunity to unite and support one another. And anywhere from a tip on how to incorporate to finding a new customer, finding a new vendor, finding a fellow patriot, and finding a new friend. And that's how the Freedom Chamber was born. We call it the Freedom Chamber because people can understand the concept of a chamber of commerce, but it's really a pro-American business community that is focused on propelling forward and defending the American principles, and restoring the American dream, as that is slipping away rapidly for so many, particularly in the last 3 years.
You know, it really has. And we've seen kind of the decline of, you know, you talked a little bit about the American dream, and when immigrants would come to this country with such reverence for America and for everything that it stands for. But there seems to, over the last, I would say, at least the last decade, maybe two decades, we've seen an almost destruction of a love for America or respect for America. And children were starting to learn to hate America and everything that it stood for. I think that was definitely true. And when, you know, Obama ushered in, you know, the ushering in of the Obama era, we saw a lot of anti-American rhetoric, anti-patriotism rhetoric, where it was no longer, if you were patriotic, you were racist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of these things that just and it really flew in the face of everything, you know, that I learned growing up. I grew up as a very patriotic American. I had a great love for country, for God and for country. And, you know, that was instilled in me from an early age from my family. And in school, even we would learn about that. But it's all of a sudden, again, within the last, I don't know, 10 to 15 years, we've just seen that just eroded.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it was by design, specifically engineered. After World War II, there was a lot of movement of socialist and communist ideology to the States, and many of them went into the universities. And in those days, much of it was centered in the philosophy courses in some of the liberal arts. But after half a generation to a generation, all of a sudden this ideology makes its way out of some of these select courses, and now it, you know, branches into journalism, it starts to branch into science, and finally we saw it with after the George Floyd riots, it went full steam into the corporate suites, into corporate America. And so this ideology, it's like a virus, and you know, to bring it back to medical terms, sort of the pathology of this disease of Marxism or socialism, fascism. I mean, it's a mixed cocktail in the U.S. because one pure form is not going to quite do it because the U.S. is so diverse, but that's how it made its way out. And the only way that you're going to tear down a capitalist society, because all of your former communist revolutions were the bourgeois versus the proletariat, the farmer, the laborer rising up and, you know, taking over from the monarch or from the elites. Here in America, it's done so differently, and the class warfare has not worked very well. And so the elites have brought into the realm and into the frying pan the critical race theory, the gender theory, things that are going to basically undoing the fundamental structures of civilization, Western civilization. I mean, science and math is now considered racist.
You know what's really interesting, Tom, is that, like, this is not anything new. You mentioned the liberal arts programs and all of this. We used to understand that when you know your child would go off to college, that they were likely going to be exposed to some kind of liberal ideology. That's kind of been going on since probably the 60s at least, right?
Right.
Predates me, by the way, but
yes, me too.
Yes, you too. Since at least the 60s, right? But so you would kind of expect that, but you would hope that by the time, you know, you raised your child to be college age, that you would instill in them enough common sense and values and all of that, that they could withstand the exposure to this liberal insanity, if you will. But now it's not like that anymore, because now they are starting just younger. And I mean, they're starting probably in preschool, in kindergarten, with this type of indoctrination, where now it's not just about, it started with the racism, and now it's about this gender insanity. The, you know, we don't know, do you know if you're a boy or a girl, or all of this gender confusion. And it's starting just incredibly young. I mean, to the point where I encourage everybody, homeschool,
yeah.
Like figure it out, because I think that the medical system is completely corrupt and unsustainable and unfixable. I feel the same way about our education system. What do you think?
Agree. I agree 100%. And I think when you look back into the Maoist Cultural Revolution, where the kids were indoctrinated so heavily in school, that they began to grow a hatred of their parents and grandparents. And in fact, when the Red Guard was born that weekend, the amount of violence killed 100,000 of their parents and grandparents.
Yeah.
And I believe they're following a similar pattern in our education, is to scare the kids about global warming, absolutely twist their minds about gender. It also make them extremely low self-esteem, being, you know, that they're racist. And what happens then is that they are so broken down that they have to go to a source of strength. And what is that strength? But, oh, the teacher that stands there, you know, in the class. And there, to me, that is the biggest wedge being driven between children and their parents. They're trying to do it here, and it's absolutely disgusting and unacceptable. And that's why I love Moms for America so much, because they just stand up against it. And we've got a long way to go, but we've got to win on this issue. And a number of the issues that we've discussed, we have got to be victorious, or we're going to lose our country. And soon we're going to be living George Orwell's 1985 with the Ministry of Truth and the rest, which we have already seen the beginnings of in our country.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, and it only takes like one generation, really one generation, as we've seen, can really change the entire trajectory of our country. It can literally destroy our country from within. And I think that they are doing a very good job of it, which is sad to witness, but we've really seen the kind of the dumbing down of society that's been going on probably for decades. Again, that's been going on. That's really not anything new. That's been going on. It's been a gradual process, but we see it happening. We've seen it across all facets of society. We see it in our cultural, you know, in our TV shows, and they really break down the American family. They make a joke out of the man being the head of the household. We've seen that happen for a long time, and it's been really sad to watch, to just watch the family, the American family, the nuclear family, be destroyed and attacked. But I think that with going back to the schools, you know, I don't think that teachers get into teaching. I think that they have good intentions and they have pure hearts, same as nurses that get into nursing and get into healthcare. But I think that we need to see more more teachers, you know, doing like something like similar to what I did with Nurse Freedom Network, where we're breaking away and we're saying that this traditional system, this public education system, it doesn't work anymore. It's broken. It's broken beyond repair. I'm going to take my knowledge and my expertise, and I'm going to partner with other teachers, and we're going to walk outside of the system. And, you know, why can't we do that, where parents are pooling their resources and taking a teacher and paying that teacher, go back to a one room schoolhouse like we did in Little House on the Prairie, you know, and teach these children, because if you go back to the 1800s, children were brilliant compared to, you know, like I'm talking about at age 13 and 14, what they knew was probably more than most of your college educated kids know today.
Yeah, that's a great point.
You know, I mean, but the dumbing down of society, you know, is, you know, mission accomplished. But why can't we go back to that? Why can't we break away from these systems that are in place? Is it just, do you think, just a comfort factor, that people are just so comfortable and they feel like society is too complex? for them to make a difference or do anything on their own. And they're just reliant on these systems that have been in place for so long.
I think you said it there in the latter part about the reliance on the system and the, you know, also the change in the economics from the 1950s to where we are today. The, you know, the average household income, you know, required to maintain a middle class lifestyle sometimes requires both parents to work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the concept of growing up at home with a parent at home and one at work has really shrunk. So the reliance on the systems becomes greater. And when the systems are this ruinous and poisonous, it does make it very difficult to extract yourself from it. But we're seeing it because, I mean, post-COVID, I don't think we've seen such a large out-migration from the public schools as we have seen, which is a good sign. And it is going to take people of great fortitude, strength, and, you know, to organize the community around, you know, an alternate educational system and to pool the resources. Many of the states here in Illinois, our education system is such a wreck. Our, you know, property taxes are probably, we go back and forth between second and first highest in the country. Us in New Jersey battle back and forth. And that's where the primary funding comes for the education and our, the salaries of our the teachers. And more so, what's even more bizarre is the growth in administration. Our school population from 1970 has not changed that much in terms of the average number of students, but the amount of administrators has grown by 90%. And wow. So you've got this administrative network that's in there, and it just becomes such a behemoth and so difficult to battle, you know, on their ground about curricula and so forth. So I think we need people of strength to, and we're seeing it. I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but I know organizations like Turning Point Academy has started to help people extricate themselves from the public school systems. There's other, excuse me. There's a great organization, Christian Center for Virtue in Ohio, that has launched almost like a charter school where they go into churches and rent the space and are supporting people with a great education in low-income neighborhoods. And so it's happening, but it's not happening perhaps as fast as we would like it to see an impact, but it is, I think, heading in the right direction. And then every opportunity we have to encourage somebody or support them, we should take that chance.
So America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeartRadio network. You can also listen on our media player from any web browser, anywhere in the world. We have the best in-class apps available on Apple, Android, or Alexa, 24/7. Great Talk Radio. All of our shows go to podcast the following day. You can hear them on apps such as Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart Podcasts, and many more. Don't forget to check out our online store at americaoutloud.shop, where you can find all of the products we represent on our network at a discounted rate, including ASEA Redox, which I can personally speak to seeing fantastic results with, including better sleep, increased energy, improved mood, and a decrease in my joint pain. Use promo code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your purchase. We'll catch you on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
It's time and this is war.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
It's time and this is love.
Welcome back to Nurses Out Loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. I'm your host, Nurse Kimberly Overton. Wherever you're listening from today and whatever you're doing, I thank you for giving me the gift of your time. Be sure to make AmericaOutloud.news your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. We all must do our part and share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, and videos so we can help secure America's future. If you're just joining us, I've been talking with the president and CEO of Freedom Square, Tom Sedaka. Let's jump right back in. Tom, thanks again for being here with me.
My pleasure, Kimberly. I can't believe how fast this is going by.
I know. It's a great conversation. And when, you know, we're kind of engaging in this conversation, it goes by really, really quickly. But I wanted to touch really quickly on something we were talking about before we went to break. And that was, you know, talking about how we can come together and like bring our resources. Cause I feel like there are two camps, right? There are those of us who are in the, like the action and the doers. And then there are those who aren't doing very much, but they have the resources, right? And I feel like we can never get the people with the resources married to the people who are out here, like us, who are out here doing and taking action. And what do you think that, what do we need to do to get these two groups to come together?
You know, that's a great point, because I've encountered a number of nonprofit organizations that are, you know, pouring their hearts out every single day. And one of the greatest challenges is fundraising, getting the resources, both, you know, both in dollars and sometimes just other inventory to help them do their work. And yet there's other places where it seems like there's, I don't know what you'd want to call them, like, vanity, you know, nonprofits where it's like, oh, I've got to be there. It's a real challenge. But I think as we continue to move and bring us together, we're going to have a better return with the engagement that we have, meaning that if more people hear about Remnant Health and the nursing organization, or Moms for America, or Turning Point USA, or oh my gosh, Frederick Douglass. There are such great the Whitson organization, Freedom's Journal Institute, folks that are, you know, having impact in various communities. We've got to amplify their works and their voices so that others may be attracted to it, because we all have the ability to contribute something. And you look at, you know, any type of a wartime situation, people are, you know, people are sewing the uniforms so that somebody could wear the uniform. Other people are in the factory, you know, making the weapons, or, you know, or making the food, or, you know, it has to be a joint effort. And I think up to this point, it's been somewhat disjointed, people operating in silos quite a bit. And so we really need to create, you know, a sense of community where the awareness is, for everybody to grow in awareness. I'm starting to sound like Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
The greatest thing about awareness is awareness and being aware. But I think that's where we have to move. We have to get out of the silos. We have to be unafraid to collaborate. Know that we're not in competition. you know, but we are in dire need of collaboration and unity to defeat what is probably likely considered, you know, maybe by 20% of America to be like, yeah, that's the fascistic sort of communist way of life I want. I want to be told what to think. I want to be told what to say. I want to be told what I got to eat. I don't want to make more than $23.47 an hour. Everybody should make that. You know, there's a large number of 20% of it. The other, there's 40% of us that are outright against that. And then there's another few percentages that are still aren't sure. And then there's others who don't even know what we're in. They don't even understand the absolute sort of global psychosis we're going through with this ideology and this small group of people hell bent on destroying.
And it is a small group. It is a small group of people. They're just really loud, and they organize well. To their credit, they organize and they collaborate really, really well. And that might be something where we're lacking on the more conservative side of the aisle, as we just, you know, don't come together as well, unfortunately. And I think that, you know, like we're talking about the business network, and you spoke to it earlier, but we do all have our niche. Like my wheelhouse is healthcare. But I think that, you know, we all have our niche, but there's always something that we can bring to the larger table that we're all gathering around, right? So let's talk about some of the ways that the Freedom Chamber promotes collaboration and networking and, you know, knowledge sharing among its members. How do you foster that strong sense of community and support from one another?
Well, you know, first, in this journey, I've had the opportunity, one, to meet a large number of jerks, grifters, self-interested, worthless, useless, useful idiots.
We're definitely running in the same circles then.
What's that?
We're definitely running in the same circle.
Well, they're out there. They seem to be out there everywhere. But I tell you, you find the diamonds in the rough. Yes. And when I decided to take our business network, and we're going to leave Freedom Square, the business directory, there. As our chamber grows, every member is going to be listed in the directory that is facing outward towards the community and the consumer, if you will. But the Freedom Chamber is really focused on helping the businesses to unite, because so many small businesses out there, I think, feel alone today. Like, oh my gosh, I'm facing this. I'm afraid to do that. I've got a question on how to do this. Oh my, you know, I've got an American flag up in my dining room. Am I going to, you know, am I going to be debanked? I've got, I'm buying Bibles and my bank's reporting the transactions to the, to the DOJ. Am I going to get debanked? You know, all these different things that are happening. And with the great people, yourself included, Patriot Mobile, Salem Media. Salem Media is one of the last bastions of just unfiltered, unvarnished truth. They've got their Salem News Network, their Town Hall, Town Hall News. They deliver facts, you know, and things that you don't normally hear in what is the narrative-driven mainstream media, which has just become a giant propaganda machine. And so darn reminiscent of Pravda, which means truth in Russia, but they were the most propagandist rag out there in Russia. To Liberation Technology Services, and we've got organizations from various aspects of the economic spectrum coming together with the goal of raising the awareness and helping accelerate the unification of all of us, so that we can share the resources, the wisdom of, oh my gosh, I want to set up a corporation in New York. What's the best way to go about it? Well, you might want to incorporate Nevada and just use a New York address, things along those lines, to I remember I was in the payroll business before I did payroll processing and HR consulting, and we had a big soft spot for the Christian community and churches. And we had a number of clients that were merchant processors, payment processors. And on occasion, we'd be talking to our customers and just saying, by the way, have you ever heard of these folks? And then we find out so many churches and Christian organizations use PayPal. PayPal is one of the largest private donors to Planned Parenthood.
Yep.
And it's like, oh my gosh, I'm literally paying, fractions or a penny of every transaction is going against my good works. And, I never used to think that way about business. I thought business, everything was basically run on merit, and you'd go to where the best service or product was, who treated you the best, who gave you the best value. Well, it's the left that has made everything political. It's the left that has started to determine winners and losers, based on ideology, which is just, frankly, insane. It goes back to that global psychosis. And so we have so many in our community that we can share and, move dollars away from the organizations that are an antithesis to our beliefs and put them with organizations that will help support each other. And that will take us a long way in a shorter time than if we keep going with our silos with the occasional referral. So we needed to create a community, the Freedom Chamber, the Pro-American Business Network, with our, co-founders, where we bring people together. And right now you could go there, you get great discounts as a member, you get great information. Job Creators, excuse me, Job Creators Network is doing advocacy for the Freedom Chamber members. They're out there, fighting against the federal and certain state laws that are debilitating to small business. They've got our back, so we've got their support there. We've got news and information, and very soon, inside of about 2 weeks, we're going to be opening up a communications platform where the community members can connect with one another, and then we can start having events and we can start getting together, because nothing replaces human contact. I mean, Zoom is great. Obviously I couldn't pop down to Nashville, or you pop up to Chicago right away for this call, but human contact is so necessary for us. It's in our DNA. And so we're really trying to forge forward with this community and driven and unite everybody's energies to point in the direction of raising all, having a rising tide that will raise all boats. And we'll be able to have a force to be reckoned with policymakers. We don't need people coming up with policies like, yeah, you know what, let's shut down small business, but let's keep the liquor stores and big box stores open. We've been down that road.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's really important, and in not even just like bringing us together as companies, as businesses, as organizations, but to the public, where they can, there's a place that they can go to see, who are these pro-American businesses, because we really don't need to continue to do business with people who hate us, who use our money, as you said, on things that don't align with our values at all. They're the complete antithesis of what our values are. So we don't need to continue to do that. One of the biggest problems and challenges I find is, like, say, for example, I'll take like the example of like a payment processor, for example. So like Stripe and Square are the big payment Yep. processors out there. And there are some, I met a great company, it was called Revere Payments, I think it was called. They are a payment processor, and they are completely outside. They're pro-American, all of that. And I'm like, great. Yeah, I want to do business with them. But here's the problem, Tom. None of my websites will integrate with these people outside of, they really have a monopoly, like on Squid, it's Stripe and Square, and all they're yes. all part of a larger cabal, if you will. They're kind of all owned by the same people when you really start digging. But I, so it makes it almost near impossible, you have to really just strip away everything. So I'd have to find not only a new payment processor, but a new, you know, web hosting and all of that. And those companies do exist. I actually found some great companies over at the Replatform event that we just did in Vegas. It's fantastic, but it's a lot because none of these things integrate with one another, right? So we've got to find a way to get over that challenge of being able to have everything that's kind of all encompassing on our side and of values that align with us versus, you know, having to kind of piece together and use this payment processor and this web hosting that don't necessarily align with our values, but it's easier and more convenient and less expensive.
Right. And it isn't that much like pulling your kid out of public school and homeschooling?
Yeah, we just got to figure out a way.
It's painful, but yeah. And I know our chamber just launched last week, and we're actually starting to market it this week. But we do have a payment processor, and we have a technology company in house that could help you because I just went through the same thing, where I wanted to use a pro American secure payment processor. But the website, we're only using this. We're like, well, actually, we're talking about data. We're talking about handshakes and interchanges. I think we can solve the problem. And we did. So it can be done. And it's going to take that little extra effort. Yeah, there's that convenience of, oh, my gosh, is this easy? But like you said, it's like, do I want to hand them one more glove to slap me in the face with? No, yeah. I'm done. I'll take the extra step, and we hope to take those extra steps out of people's to-do list by having the chamber and talking about those case studies or those recommendations or testimonials about here's how you could do this. And that's a great point that you just made, and it completely rounds out the benefits of our community and also the knowledge, knowing that there are answers and solutions.
Yeah. And, you know, it is like kind of ripping off a Band-Aid and just kind of saying, okay, I'm going to get it done, because you have to go a little bit of an extra mile. But yeah, you're right. We can't continue to allow these people that, again, they hate us. We can't continue to support.
Right.
And their businesses, because it just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't help us achieve any of our goals. So, you know, we can all talk about it's too complex and all of this, but we've got to just, you know, that's the problem is society is complex, and many of us just don't have the bandwidth. We're like, okay, I can't deal with this. It's too difficult. It's too hard. But we've got to just take a step back and figure it out. Because
yeah, I had lunch with one of our chamber members, not a founder, but he said, I just set aside 90 minutes of my schedule on Friday where I'm going to be switching my phone service, my technology. What else? Oh, I think he's going to get one of the unplugged phones. And he's like, I just have to do it. And I said, well, that's exactly it. We just have to do it.
Yeah, we just have
to do it.
Make it a priority to do. And when, you know, once it's done, it's done. And then we can kind of go on and thrive, because it's really, we can't give them this much power. It's only a matter of time. And we've seen it happen where Stripe and Square have literally frozen funds from people.
Yep.
We've seen that happen over and over.
Stripe just went after Dr. Malone.
Oh, did they really? I didn't see that. You know, I always wonder. I'm like, I just wait for them to come after me. But why are we giving them so much power that we've got to take the power back? But we see that happening all the time. And like, look what, GoFundMe did to the trucker convoy. And thank God for that. GiveSendGo, who is one of the co-founders here at the Freedom Chamber. GiveSendGo, which is an incredible company. I actually met.
Yes.
Up Wells, and I interviewed with him at the Replatform event. Fantastic, fantastic company, fantastic family. What an incredible story they have. So it's been really interesting and an honor to get to know them as well.
Right. That's a great point. And they really came on the scene with the trucker convoy. They basically saved it and helped them get their funds.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was because they had been around a lot longer than I realized when I interviewed Jacob. He was saying they'd been around since like 2014, 2015. I don't even remember them being around that long, but I think that they really did come on the scene when they kind of saved the day with the trucker convoy. So that was kind of a blessing, you know. I think that GoFundMe really shot themselves in the foot with that one.
Yeah, and again, it gets back to one side of the political spectrum, one sort of diseased ideology that is picking the winners and the losers. And this is what is the probably the most disheartening aspect. You've probably heard about the 60s when we had like the riots, and all of that was people rising up against the government. Well, now those people are in government, and that ideology is working hand in hand with the government and their cronies in the private sector, the public sector, in the religious sector. That's the challenge. And it's the elites going after the masses, almost like a reverse communist revolution, only the elites are pushing communism, which is the most confounding thing about this equation.
Yeah. Well, we've only got a couple minutes left. You know, before we sign off, Tom, let's give a shout out to all of the amazing co-founders that have come on with Freedom Chamber and really, you know, kind of taking it upon themselves to come in at the early beginning stages and grow this amazing American pro-American business chamber network. So we'll start, of course, Remnant Healthcare is, I'm very proud to be a co-founder
Oh,
with.
we're so happy to have you and so honored to have you.
Thank you so much. And we've got our friend, amazing Lance at Ascent Nutrition.
Yes.
Ascent is a founding member. We've got 13 Stripes Digital Media.
Yep.
1789 Capital.
Yes.
And
Great
we've
supporters. Great. These are sort of your venture capitalist equity investors supporting pro-American enterprise, which is wonderful.
Maybe I'll
Absolutely
need to
wonderful.
have a meeting with is it Chris? Chris, you'll
Chris,
have to have a meeting.
yes.
Chris, I'm going to be in touch.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's see, we've got DeGroote Financial. Maybe in touch with Doug over at DeGroote Financial as well. And
Oh,
I'll
Doug is great. Yes.
tell me what is your thought? And I've had this conversation with several people. Is it the Epic Times or is it the
Epoch. I call it Epoch, but there's people that call it Epoch. I call it Epoch Times. And to me, as far as a newspaper goes, it is bar none the best in the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is fantastic. I will tell you, they have featured me many times. They always feature they don't publish the best pictures of me. I'm always very mean looking whenever they have. We're gonna have to discuss that with somebody over there. Gloria is our person. Okay, great.
Oh,
We're
Gloria's great. She's the founder board member from Epoch with us. So
Okay, well, we're going to talk to Gloria and say, Gloria, can you please use better pictures of Kimberly when you run pictures of her? Because they're not so great, but it's okay. I forgive you. And then we mentioned Give Send Go, of course, Gomino, which is Chris Gomino. Okay, thank you. It's
Go
Chris
Minnow
Gomino
is right in
Media.
your backyard in Nashville.
Yeah, that's
They're a
awesome.
Christian children's entertainment network, and they've got lots of creators from Pixar that are doing incredible work.
Well, Lord knows we need that with everything that's come out with Disney and with Nickelodeon now. Lord knows we need some wonderful, wholesome Christian children's media and entertainment. So that is definitely going to be something I will be sharing out.
Yeah, and they just did. They've got a animated movie coming out. They did in conjunction with Angel Studios.
Oh, amazing. That's amazing.
Yes.
All right. And we've got the Job Creators Network, which is
Job Creators
amazing.
Network, Alfredo Ortiz. They are the best fighters for small business Main Street America.
Amazing. And then Liberation Technology.
Technology. Yep.
Yeah. Amazing. Litton Media is another media company made in the USA, madeinusa.com, which I believe e-commerce kind of like similar to like an Amazon, maybe.
Yep.
Got
American made products. I
American
mean,
made products.
I have friends that spend hours looking shopping on Amazon, and then they try to find the origin or where the item was manufactured. And if it's not, they've gotten better at not mentioning, but as they mentioned, most of it's China. When you go to madeinusa.com, it's all American made.
Well, we'll be certainly sharing that resource out as well. We've got Mercury Real Estate.
Robert Shelton and Glenn Beck.
Yes.
Real estate agents I trust.
Yep. We've got Old Glory Bank. I've met several of their representatives at events. They're fantastic. I'm looking at changing my banking over to them. Fantastic. Patriot Mobile, of course, is incredible. Incredible Patriots. Proactive Solutions, HR. Jen, I know I met Jen at Mobs for America.
Yes.
Fantastic. And then the Rabine Group, Gary Rabine, he's exterior services and roofing.
And he does a lot of national paving company, does a lot of national contracts, and he is a tremendous patriot and very big in business networking and unification. He is a strong force within our group.
Excellent. Well, I look forward to connecting with him as well. Then we've got Salem Media. More than I even thought. We've got Stax Technology.
Stax Technology Payment Systems. Yep.
Awesome. I can't wait to learn more about that. The Patriot Economist.
That's David Bratt.
Yeah.
The former congressman. He's vice provost and was the dean of business at Liberty University.
Amazing. And then we have another tech company, Unplugged.
Yep. That's the phones. Those are the phones that are built and designed to be tracking free. And I actually got one about 2 months ago, and it is fantastic. I don't get bombarded with any ads. It doesn't listen to me.
Nice. Well, I'm going to definitely look into that then as well. And then the last one that we have here is Wanderlust Meetings, which I think they're like a venue selection.
Oh, yeah.
You want to do events.
When you ever want to do events, they are phenomenal. They are who we use at Turning Point. Mm-hmm. Turning Point events. And they also do great stuff for smaller events.
Well, that's amazing. I think, and like I said, we all have our niche and it's all about coming together. Well, we're out of time. I'm glad we did get every one of the co-founders in. We got a shout out to them. So again, if you want to join forces with pro-American businesses, when we invite you, of course, to join the Freedom Chamber. And you can find us at freedomchamber.net. I will include all of the links in the show notes. Tom Sadeka, thank you so much for being here with me today.
And Kimberly, thank you for the opportunity and blessings and all my gratitude to your brothers and sisters on the ground helping save people. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. And that's all the time that we have for today, friends. But remember, we are here on the air 5 days a week, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern. As we walk you through all of these hot topics, we will empower you with information and education. We will advocate and we will stand in the gap for you because we are nurses and this is what we do. I'm your host, Nurse Kimberly Overton, and you can find me here every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. Until next time, be safe, be well, and God bless. Remember, we are in a war for truth. We are putting out a bounty on the real misinformation and exposing the purveyors of propaganda. No topic is off limits as we shine our lights and expose the darkness.
It's time.